Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
More and more people are finding themselves caring for both children and aging loved ones while trying to make everything else work, managing work, careers, family, their own lives. My next guest, all of them are living that reality as they navigate the challenges of caring for elderly parents whilst keeping everything else afloat. Are you in that situation? Do let us know. Get in touch with the show. But I'm joined now by Yvonne Redden, journalist. You've your own experience of this, Yvonne.
I have, and it prompted me to write the article. So my mum had, she's dead from Alzheimer's. She died 11 years ago. Okay. But 11 years ago, myself and my siblings would do like juggle. We helped my father at home. She was diagnosed very young at 63, Anna. So, and she survived for about 10 years and then she slowly was succumbed to the disease, which was awful. At the time, I had my twins were 15 months old when she was in a nursing home. And, you know, it was, I didn't drive at the time. I used to have to call up to her with the twins. We used to take turns minding her before she went into the nursing home, like to give my dad the break that he needed, you know what I mean? So we were lucky that we had my mum at home for quite a few years. I mean, really lucky. I know a lot of people aren't lucky like that as well. I mean, the other side as well is my dad died suddenly last year. He was still at home in his family home. He didn't want the care. He was in denial. So you have that opposite kind of thing where they don't want to go in the home. They're kind of don't want the help at home. So it's a
very tricky.
It's very tricky.
And you don't want to insult an older person.
They don't want to be sick and they don't feel like they're sick, but they are. And when my dad was a very stubborn man. He was 84 and he wanted to be taken out of home and he was. But, you know, it's still hard when they don't want the help that you know that they need.
Yes.
You see them disintegrating in front of you and he's going, no, I'm fine. And what can you do when they're in their senses? So there's that side as well. So as well as, you know, juggling kids and it's just a nightmare for some people. For
and
sure.
When you look, you're obviously, you know, well positioned. You've lived experience of this, Yvonne. So you were well positioned to understand the pressures of that kind of sandwich generation.
Juggling
the whole thing. When you look back at that person then, i.e. you, with the, you know, young twins and aging parents in a nursing home, what do you remember about that time? And how do you feel looking back on that girl?
I don't know how I did it. And my siblings as well. I mean, I was lucky. I was at home with my children. I hadn't got a full-time job as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was able to go over to the nursing home a bit more.
You had a bit of flexibility.
They didn't. They were working full-time. Then going up to my dad. She used to wake up at night time before she went into the nursing home and fall on the floor and wouldn't move. So my sister was very involved there. Like, it must have been harder for them. I know I had my twins, but it was tough. But I was more flexible, as you say. Yeah.
I think the other thing that can come out of this situation quite often, I know from some of my own friends, is that, you know, my friend will do 90% of the work. And then the other siblings know that one person will step up and do it. So they kind of, relax
a
bit.
That's true. When my mother was at home before she went into the nursing home, I couldn't do the showering thing with my mother. I just couldn't. It was the dignity thing and I just didn't want to see my mother like that. So my sister did all that and then she'd come out and I'd dress her and I'd do her hair because I was a hairdresser. So we used to do the things that we were more comfortable with. But it was still hard. I mean, they were like children.
And you're lucky that you have siblings to share out those jobs, you know?
Very lucky. I was lucky because we all helped each other and through the times when we were struggling with how she was just disintegrating in front of us, you know.
And it's such a desperately sad illness as well.
It's a horrible illness because they eventually learned that they can't eat. They literally starved to death in the end. And my mother was only about 6 stone when she died. But that's that illness. There is many other illnesses as well. And you don't have to have children to juggle all this. You can be working full time and your parents are elderly and still, you know, it's still tough if you're trying to hold a job as well.
Oh, it's the juggle, I agree. You know? It's not just about parenting.
Just about, and the kids as well.
And you've got great examples of that. So we have Dara on the line. Dara, you have a 5-year-old son and you also care for your mum in Dublin on a regular basis as well. So tell us about your situation, Dara.
Yeah, thanks, Anna.
Hi.
Now I have a big bone to pick with Yvonne because with whatever typo she did in the article, she aged me by 5 years.
Oh, so I'd be annoyed as well.
Sorry, but I think I've aged anyway from the whole thing.
I've certainly aged from this experience I'm having, but I wasn't 55 when I had my son. I was 50. I'm 55 now.
Okay.
And my mother is now 93.
Wow.
And So I live down in Wexford, and now I have two siblings that live up in Dublin. My mother lives in Dublin, so we do it almost on a roster basis. So there are, you know, two, maybe three nights a week I'll come up to Dublin and I will stay with my mother and care for her as needed. But the thing, you know, you're still leaving your family behind. And you know, I even in the last couple of weeks, my young lad now, as I say, he's only five. You know, when I left last night, and as I was driving off, he's crying at the window as he's seeing me going. He knows I'm coming back, but he's just missing that playtime that he loves, you know, the time that we do spend together. And that's hard. But then you've got the other side where, you know, he's got time on his side. He certainly does, which is not an excuse or is not a way out. But my mother potentially doesn't. And it's hard to prioritize where you spend that time. But there are certain things that my wife can do with my child. And she can support him. And he has other support down there with his grandparents. But there's other bits that we talk about when we talk about kind of elderly parents. My mother lives on her own. My father died about 4 years ago. But just the general maintenance, you know, the things about keeping the grass cut, you know, changing the light bulb, dealing with utility companies is a shocking, dreadful experience. You know, because everything is so fixed in their processes. And you know, I was only speaking to my mother's bank and I had to get there before 5 o'clock so I could make the phone call. Then I couldn't prompt her with her answers because they'd stopped the call. They told me I couldn't prompt, but she can't read the numbers on the back of her card. They won't allow me to speak to her directly. So there's all of these little things you also have to do. And even when you explain to them, like, she's 93, you know, can we not let somebody else deal with these issues? We say, well, no, we've got our procedures. I say, well, you know, I think it's time you need to start kind of bending these procedures, or you need to be aware of the needs of your customers. But
you make a great point, Dara, because the banks and everything is going digital, and there's a whole generation who feel completely left out of that process because they're used to either talking to someone on the phone, and now you can't get a human on the other end of a phone, or walking into a branch, and sure, the branches are closing all over the country because, you know, we've moved to this digital thing. So it is very isolating for that whole generation, isn't it?
You know, and my business, and this kind of annoys me because I'm a customer service and customer experience consultant, and this type of thing annoys me. We're moving to digital, but what a lot of organizations are doing now, they're moving to digital to save costs of people. And what they should be doing is moving to digital to allow their current workforce to spend more time with the people who can't use digital and the people who need extra supports. But they're not doing that. So what I really need from my side is I need somebody there having the time to answer the phone, to be able to have different methods of communication, to be able to speak to my mother, perhaps using text because she's very good with that, but her hearing is really bad, so she can't use the phone. She can't look at certain numbers because her eyesight isn't great. So they're not at the moment. All of this digitization is saying that it's providing a service and it's trying to bring in cost savings, but they're not using better ways to deal with people who can't manage that digital transformation. You know, and that's a bit, that's so you have to be around during. So when you're working full time, you have to be around during that 9 to 5 to be able to make those phone calls with your mother.
Exactly,
so
standing beside them.
You're the right person. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, so it's a kind of a, there's a lot of challenges there. So you have to keep taking time off work to do those type of things as well. But don't, like, and I sound like I'm a moaning mini here now, and believe me, I'm absolutely not. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to care for my mom in any way that I can, because I am absolutely certain that we were a nightmare for her when we were growing up. So she deserves it.
It's your give back time. Yes, yes.
And I'm teaching my son now. I have my son quite late in life. So he needs to be watching closely now, because I'll be calling on him a lot sooner than my parents called on me. So in a few years' time, he better follow suit.
He better be putting the time in. Just stay with us, Dara. I'm going to bring in Ruth, because Ruth was part of your piece as well, Yvonne, wasn't she? Ruth Powell is also on the line. Lives in Dublin but travels back and forth to South Wales to care for your dad, Ruth.
I do, yeah. Good afternoon, and thanks for giving time to this issue. It's really important, so it's lovely to have a chance to talk about it. I go back and forward to South Wales. I live in Dublin City and I work full time. I'm 54 and I'm not ashamed of that. Dara seemed very upset about it.
I got your age right, I think. She's only insulted one of you today.
I'm confidently 54 and I'm delighted about it. And every 3 or 4 weeks I go back to South Wales and I look after my dad who, like Dara's mum, he still lives at home. He's still independent and that's great. But there's a lot of care and scaffolding around him. You know, we've got carers who go in 2 or 3 times a day. There's Meals on Wheels. There's an evening meal that comes from a friend of a friend who drops that by. We've got family in the local area who help and neighbours who drop in and do all sorts of bits and pieces. But it's endless. It's constant and it's endless. And you're always up against the time barrier and just sort of, you know, that 9 to 5 to do any financial maintenance, anything to do with a house, anything to do with services or goods or even sort of bizarre things like getting a basket of food delivered from your local supermarket and making sure that at that time of the day is a good time for the delivery. There's all sorts of things you wouldn't have thought about. So I kind of think I'm a remote carer. I only do it 1 week in sort of 3 or 4 and then that's really full on. So I go to Wales, I travel over by ferry, which is lovely, and then I sleep in my old bedroom and I try and look after my dad and I try and work from home from Wales. So there's all sorts of flexibility and adaptability that I need from my workplace, and the working from home opportunity for people who have care responsibilities is a game changer, because otherwise I would have had to have left my job.
It is, Ruth, but not everyone would get that flexibility, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of lucky, I think, that you have that, isn't it?
I'm really lucky, and well, it's luck, it's policy of the place where I work. It's also my lovely my lovely colleagues who pick up all the things that I miss when I'm working from Wales, because of course you're not fully concentrating because you're dealing with a boiler guy, or you're dealing with an appointment, or you've got to go back to the hospital, or you've got to call the pharmacy again because you've got the wrong prescription delivered this time. There's so much to do, and it's absolutely endless. And there are days when you're just not quite sure you're gonna see kind of 6 o'clock in the evening, because there's so much on us. You know, it's really different now, you know. This is like our generation having our older parents and our older relatives. It's wonderful and it's beautiful and it's lovely. It's also quite tricky because they're living longer, which is great, but they can often have multiple health issues and complicated health issues that require a lot of care and a lot of support. So my dad loves it when I'm just sitting there watching telly with him.
I was just about to say that, and that's what hits me here. You know, we're like, you're there doing different jobs and fixing their online banking, and you know, someone says everyone needs to set up an enduring power of attorney, which of course is very practical. I've looked at that before. It's the most complicated thing in the world to do in Ireland. Someone needs to fix that. That's another day's work.
Yeah.
But you know, you'd love to just sit there and play a game, or you know, watch a movie together, or
quality
have a glass
time.
Of rather than trying to fix things all the time. Yvonne,
my dad was always changing his provider of his broadband and his TV, and we were in the end, he didn't even know who he was with. He was with them all. So needing that somebody to help with all that, you're dead on there. Like, you need someone to help them with all those things.
Yes.
So that's another job.
Just before we run out of time on this, let me just get a sense from our listeners. I can't get my parents to fix the heat in their home. They're both in their 80s. I'm pulling my hair out, someone says. Someone else is texting to say, when my father was in his late 80s and unable to deal with the digital world for banking and utilities, I had to cheat and get my husband to pretend he was my dad on phone calls to get stuff done. He even had to put on a feeble old man voice. It was the only way around the nonsense. someone else, yeah, we all need to set up their enduring power of attorney. Hopefully that will be made a little bit smoother, I think, in Ireland, because there's, I think there's issues around how difficult that is for people to set up. I'm a mother of four from 10 to 18. My husband's mother has been very unwell for the last few years and we do a lot for her. My parents are getting older too and it feels like the demands just keep coming. I only work part-time now because it's just too much to manage. Mm. Is this the kind of sentiment you've gotten in writing this article?
Definitely. Yvonne? And you know, it's only going to get worse. We're living longer, which is fantastic. You know, I'm an older mum as well. I hope I'll be around for a long time for my twins. You know, but it's expected to quadruple in from 2027, from 104,000 to 389,000 in 2057. So we are living longer. So we need different things in place now to help with all that, don't we?
We do. And if there was one thing, do you think, to kind of help the squeezed middle or the sandwich generation, as they refer to all of us as. What do you think would be the best fix or an immediate fix
for
the whole thing?
I think voluntary care, even in the neighbourhood and communities, would be a huge one. Like for the likes poor Al, Ruth has to go all the way over to Wales. I mean, that must be really tough as well. So more care in the community.
That's
for
a great
sure.
point, because time and time again you hear, you know, the older person, you know, you're worried about them, but they don't want to go into a nursing home and they don't really need that level of care, but they need some care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone to just keep an eye on them.
And the peace of mind for the whole
Absolutely.
Family as well.
Yeah.
Yvonne Redden, an important piece. Thank you so much for joining us in studio today. That was Dara and Dara Kieran and Ruth Powell as well contributing to that item. And thank you indeed to all of the texts from our listeners on that topic as well.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday. On News Talk. Conversation that counts.